is 4:39 on your Tuesday downtown program. Rich Kimble, Brian Stackpole on the Pulse, AM 620, WZON, and in glorious high definition at WKIT HD3.
We watch the children playing beside the Christmas.
As you know, nothing says Christmas, Stack, quite like Billy Corgan, so like that. That's good stuff.
He could be the guy, the Jack Skellington. He kind of looks like it. Not to go all that at this time of the year.
Absolutely. Mixing in a little non-traditional Christmas music. We like to do that here on Downtown. Hey, right now we're thrilled to have in studio with us a member of the Bangor City Council, former mayor of Bangor, and just all-around talented and good guy, Ben Sprague, who's here with us in our Quality Jewelers studios. Thanks for stopping in, Ben.
Thank you so much for having me. Love the show. Happy to be here.
Well, let's talk first and foremost about what's going on with your podcast, The Main Show. You've been, about a dozen episodes now?
Yeah, we've been doing a weekly episode, and it's really a lot like what you're doing, which is a chance to highlight some people and things that are important to you that you think people should know more about. It's really storytelling. It's a way to reach people and tell some stories about things happening in Maine that people might not always be quite up to speed on.
And for the most part, you focus on one person per show.
Yeah, I've done – the first episode was a story about how – Bangor got the folk festival to come to Bangor, which was actually a fascinating story about pitching the folk festival organization, and it was a long process. That was the very first episode. Since then, it's been more one-on-one interviews. We've done one with Brian Butterfield, for example, the Orono
native.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and we get to record that with him in Fenway Park. Dan Cashman, a friend of the program here, we did a great show with him and his backstory, and I'm trying to make it not just be about Dan, for example, talking about the night show, which is fascinating in and of itself, but sort of the backstory about how he got the idea, how he came up with it, what it's like behind the scenes, and kind of tell the story behind the story a little bit.
Well, what's the backstory on the podcast? What got you thinking about that, and what made you finally decide to do it?
Well, good question. I travel a lot for my job, so I've gotten hooked on podcasts. I listen to a whole bunch of them, and I was going to Presque Isle one day and literally typed Maine into the search tool in iTunes to find out what Maine-based podcasts there were, and there were very few. So I thought, that's a niche that someone could fill, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought, I could do this. I could record people and do a little minimal production, but the podcasting, it's fun. It's a labor of love. There's no compensation or anything, but it's just been a really good chance to get to know people and help tell their stories.
And you do it right out of your home?
Yeah, I've got a laptop, just recording a program on my laptop called GarageBand, two microphones that plug into the USB, so I have a traveling studio, I guess.
Now, what you mentioned, the listening to podcasts, and I love podcasts too. What are some of the favorites for you?
I listen to the Bill Simmons podcast. Freakonomics is one I really like. There's one called the Rich Roll podcast. He's this endurance athlete, and it kind of somewhat inspires me to be healthy, even though I fail on a week-to-week basis, but I've got a chance to learn a lot. The Serial podcast came out last year that I actually haven't listened to yet, but it was kind of
that was great.
A true crime drama thing, right? And it brought podcasting into the mainstream. There's a lot of people that don't really even know what a podcast is, but the way people's attention spans are now, podcasting is great because people can press pause, they can fast forward, they can rewind, they can listen to it whenever they want. So it's been an interesting way to reach sort of a new audience. Like you, I do have social media presence and all that, and there's sort of a superficiality about that sometimes that you don't really get a chance to get into the details much, but you have sort of a creative outlet here with your show. Podcasting has been similar for me. That's a chance to do things in a little bit atypical way to reach some new people and help tell some stories.
Well, it's great. Ben Sprague's with us here on Downtown. And the fun part of for me is always, and I know you do this because I've heard it on the shows, of finding out those things that that maybe people wouldn't know about your guests. And it's also great when you can ask somebody about something they weren't aware that you knew.
Yeah. I had Lucas St. Clair on there talking about the National Park Plan, and I had George Smith, who's former director of Sportsman's Alliance of Maine. And a couple of the things they've said have just been really interesting. And I thought that if Bangor Daily News, for example, put that in a headline, it'd be statewide news. Mm. And I think the audio format sometimes gets people to loosen up a little bit and say some things that they might not say to a reporter, but you can say conversationally with them and really get an interesting story from them.
Now, you mentioned you did the Brian Butterfield interview at Fenway Park, and people may not know that you work for the Red Sox, and so you know the park, you know the organization quite well.
Yeah, yeah. I was down there for college, and then my senior year of college, got a job as a tour guide at Fenway Park, so I was a tour guide at Fenway for a year. And then stuck around in the fan services and then ultimately the video production department for 3 years. So we did all the in-game entertainment. Actually learned some about video and audio editing at that time and about storytelling. The thing I learned most at the Red Sox is that there's an incredible amount of production that goes on behind the scenes of that operation that backs up the players on the field. But there's, especially with the Red Sox and this ownership group, they put so much time into the total experience of attending a baseball game. And really learned a lot, and it was a great job.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Red Sox. What do you think so far of the tenure of Dave Dombrowski?
Pretty good so far. Pretty good so far. Baseball, it's interesting what's happened to the Red Sox over time. I almost feel like winning the World Series multiple times has almost taken away a little bit of the charm of the team. And to inject some of that enthusiasm back in, they got to get guys like David Price, but I really like what they're trying to do in revisiting the minor league programs and having these future stars of the Red Sox, I think they call it, traveling around and meeting fans. The best teams and the most interesting teams to watch are really the ones that are cultivating their talent from within. I think that's really what the Red Sox need to do, especially since their teams are local to Boston. They're Portland, they're Rhode Island, and that's how I think they're going to keep the fan base interested, because we all know the Patriots and the Bruins especially have been chipping away at that fan base for years.
Right.
It's overlapping, of course, but you can't finish in last place and hope to retain your fan base, especially with some of the other changes they've made. You know, they gotta have winning teams, but they gotta have teams with players that people want to see on the field.
They've done great renovations to the ballpark, but really, how long can Fenway remain a viable venue for a professional sports team?
They've done a great job of keeping that historic charm of Fenway Park, but making it modern. But you're right. It's an arms race in Major League Baseball. Mm. And at Yankee Stadium, they're getting hundreds of thousands of dollars probably a game on their luxury boxes. And that just goes to the bottom line of the team. Fenway Park is still one of the smallest parks in baseball. When I was there, it was the second smallest after PNC Park in Pittsburgh. It's probably still the second or third smallest. But I don't know that they can ever get rid of Fenway Park, though, because I think the fan base would just revolt.
We're talking with Ben Sprague and the Main Show podcast. The latest edition features, we talked about storytelling, features a great collection of holiday stories. Can you talk about some of the people involved?
Yeah, I had this idea early on in the podcast to do a show of different Mainers talking about their holiday traditions, and it ended up being a very moving piece, I think. We had everybody from Rob Jarvis, who's assistant pro at Bangor Municipal Golf Course, to brother Donald Paul, who's one of the friars downtown, to Reverend Rene Garrett. And my wife was also in there, Mallory, talking about her experience as a gate agent for an airline on Christmas 1 year, which was what she used to do. And all these people just told some really interesting, moving stories. There's a lot of emotion packed into it. So I'm really proud of that episode. And I think a lot of people were able to tap into their own traditions in listening to the podcast. So that one's got a very positive response so far.
Let's talk about what's happening with the city council recently. Maybe the most discussed work that the council has done in the last couple of years, and that's a Bangor's decision to raise the minimum wage. It was a 7-2 vote. Obviously, and I've told you this off the air too, I was impressed with the way that you handled this issue. I felt like there were some emotional reactions on both sides, but you took your time, you deliberated, you worked to get a measure that's more appealing, and clearly as a result of the vote, more appealing to a lot of people than it was back 6 months or so ago. Can you talk about the process there?
Yeah, thank you for that. The process initially, the idea of a minimum wage increase had been floated a lot in the news. It was kind of playing out in the media. We hadn't had a lot of real discussion about it at City Council, though, so this idea popped up. Legislation at any level takes a long time. We saw what happened in Portland when they increased their minimum wage. They had problems with it almost immediately because they hadn't fully thought it through yet. They had to redo their vote. So in Bangor, we wanted to take our time with it, and that makes some people feel impatient, but ultimately I think we got to a better solution. When it first came up this summer, I was one that said I'm not going to support it just yet because we don't have it figured out yet. And we have this state referendum coming next November where we're going to have possibly a statewide increase. I don't know that it makes a lot of sense to do a minimum wage increase as one municipality when we'll get clarity at the statewide level not too far into the future. So ultimately, we came to what I thought was a decent compromise to enact a modest minimum wage increase. It only goes from $7.50 to $8.25 in the first year. That's a modest increase, but the implementation is not until January 2017. So it still gives that state process a time to unfold. If it does pass next November statewide, that supersedes the city of Bangor, so it's no problem for the city. But if it doesn't pass, we can at least say in the city of Bangor, we did our due diligence. We gave the state process a chance to unfold. It didn't. We still believe the minimum wage should go up, so we'll still move forward with ours here.
Yeah, and I think most reasonable people would agree that that minimum wage needs to be higher for everybody. Most of the people I've talked with who were opposed, again, believed it should be a federal or a state mandate. But what do you say to the small business owners who tell you that, well, this is going to hurt our business, it's going to keep us from hiring young people in the summer, and in the end, it may not help some of the people you intend it to help?
Well, I am completely empathetic to that point of view. I think that, for one, I think that both proponents and opponents of the minimum wage both overstate the impact. I don't think it's going to be as dire as everyone thinks. I don't think it's going to be as helpful as everyone thinks. The idea behind doing it statewide is that it's consistent between communities, and all those dollars that end up in people's pockets ultimately lift everybody up because the money flows through the economy. Because people spend it on life's necessities, hopefully. So the hope for small business owners, and we are a city and we're a state of small businesses, is that there'll be an economic boost from the minimum wage going up that will be more of an impact than the detriment to the businesses, which is what I hope happens.
Ben Sprague here on Downtown. If you were to steal Jabron Graham's mug at a council meeting, what would the repercussions be?
He's very protective of his mugs. Yeah, he... Jabron's been fun to work with. I think we got a pretty good group on city council. We go in a lot of different directions sometimes, but that's what happens when you get nine people together of different stripes. And I think that we had a decent year on city council. We had kind of some odd issues ranging from Babe the Blue Ox to paid parking downtown to that floating sculpture in the Kenduskeag Stream. My 4 years on city council so far, this was definitely the oddest year. But overall, city council is pretty enjoyable, and there's people out there listening that I would encourage anybody to get involved with local government wherever you happen to live, because it is fulfilling and it's very interesting most of the time. 90% of the time, I enjoy it.
And for people who want to hear the Main Show podcast, what's the easiest way for them to access that?
You can go to mainshowpodcast.com. If they have access to iTunes, there's a podcast tab in iTunes. You can type in the Main Show, and all the past episodes are in there, including the holiday episode that came out this week. We also try to use music from main artists as well. So I would encourage people to check it out and let us know what you think.
Great. Ben, thank you so much for stopping by, and a Merry Christmas to you and your family.
You as well. This is the best week of the year, I think, Christmas week. It's just wonderful.
And you got a little guy not much older than mine. So
yeah.
I'm just going to keep asking you questions about what I have coming up in the weeks ahead.
It's been great. Our son just turned two, and we got a daughter who's 5 months. So life is nuts at home, but it's all good.
All right. Thanks for stopping by, Ben.
Thank you.
Ben Sprague here on Downtown.